So these are tough times for everybody, but I tend to think they are particularly tough, and tough in a peculiar way for African Americans. It's not just the public health crisis that we're facing, but that layers on top of lots of other things that were already going on. And we keep getting reminded, I think, of the ongoing struggles we have with crisis in the Black community and the toll that that takes on individuals. I saw someone, a friend of mine on Twitter, post something the other day that said, "Dear white people, your Black friends are exhausted." I thought it was a really poignant way to put what's going on right now.
Absolutely. I think it was so interesting the first few weeks of quarantine where you almost saw this uniformity, this care across everyone of like, wow, we, this collective we, are really going through a challenging time. And then the news articles started coming up out about the inequality that we see in transmission, mortality, treatment, et cetera. That in and of itself was challenging. Then you saw the behavioral finger pointing of whose fault it was for even contracting this type of thing. So that added to it. Then Detroit being a hotspot added to it. And then the things that the Black community is already used to facing now emerges on top of this. So exhaustion, I don't know if there's a more heightened word for that, but exhaustion on 12 is probably where we are.
Yeah. One of the things that struck me about the last week in particular, and I'm talking now about the incident in Central Park and the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, was the reaction of the other people who were involved in those incidents, and that they seemed heightened by the pandemic as well. That the level of frustration that people are feeling, the level of desperation they're feeling, I think also adds to the danger that African Americans face when they interact with other people. I mean, that woman in Central Park seems overly and disproportionately exercised about whatever the confrontation was between them and the police officer in Minnesota. The look on his face as he put his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck and had almost no reaction as he begged for his life. That's another level of callousness and danger, again, that I think we're facing right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about these principles around if there are limited amounts of resources, right? So people tend to say that we can all reach some sort of communal goal, knowing that there are plentiful resources, no one's going to be impacted. But as soon as you say there's a cap to the amount of resources, then people start to act in their own best interest. They tend to these in-group kind of, I'm going to have resources for me and mine. I don't know about you and yours, but we're going to be okay over here. So I can only connect that to what you just said, because as people are seeing the toilet paper go off shelves, or they're seeing the limited amounts of tests that are out there, it's that communalism, that uniformity that we had at the beginning is really dissipating. And it's like, listen, we over here, we're going to be good. What y'all are doing, y'all are bringing, you know, disease, you're bringing death, you're bringing these things on yourself, you're bringing threat onto me and my folks. We're not having it. That unfortunately is a bit of what I'm thinking about as you're talking.
Yeah. So let's talk about mental health during this time, and what some of the things are that you can do to maintain your mental health as all of these things go on around you and in so many cases affect us personally and deeply as these things kind of go on.
Yeah, Stephen. So, I certainly think acknowledging that these things are happening is important, and knowing the balance and the limit of how much you're going to intake. So I work with children in particular, and there are so many studies that are starting to come out from some of my colleagues that are indicating any instance of watching these types of videos in the case of George Floyd are triggering, traumatizing to our children, even in a vicarious manner. So no, it didn't happen to our kiddos themselves, but just by watching these things, we're seeing anxiety and depression increase in our kids. So again, acknowledging, yes, young one, this is happening in our world. I'm going to ask you to put that phone down. I'm going to ask you not to watch it again because it can really disrupt your mental wellness. And that's not something I want for you. So having those really frank, open, candid conversations with our youth, but really limiting the amount of exposure that they're getting. I am sure that we can extend that to us as adults as well. I personally am someone who can acknowledge it. I write about it all the time. I think about it all the time. And when I see it, it hits me, it slaps me across the face, it stops my work for the day. And again, on the one hand, it's important for me to feel that, to know I'm still being impacted by it, that those things have not become a norm for me. And at the other, if it's starting to disrupt my wellness, my flow, then that's not something that we want either, because psychological functioning is all about how can I do the things that I enjoy or need to get done. So if we're not able to do those things, it's time to cut off the TV. It's time to go outside and start to enjoy the non-raining weather. It's time to, you know, take advantage of some of the things that we do have available to us. Even though technology on the one hand can bring some challenges, it has a bevy of opportunities of connection between people. It has opportunities of mindfulness, Instagram chat at 12. All these things that allow us to break from the things that are coming at us, that give us some space from that, can really be useful for us.
Yeah. When you talk about that withdrawal, though, long-term, of course, what we really need to be doing is engaging a little more with some of these things. And it's difficult, I think, to think about the ways in which we can engage with some of these subjects and maintain our sanity. If not our mental health. I mean, there really are, I think right now, outsized threats to just holding it together. And of course, any solutions that we might want to come up with for these things really require us to engage. And I find myself right now unable in a lot of cases to do that, unwilling to do it, but I know I've got to go back to it. And then the question is, what does that look like?
Yeah. And I think just in this moment, it's important to acknowledge that's okay, right? Like what you just said and where you are in this moment is okay. We don't all need to be on 10 for everything all the time. It takes a communal effort. It takes people at different stages, you know, doing different things. So some of the work that goes on in my lab and in my program of research is how do we have Black families have the talk, which is something that we have been doing for generations, right? So that when children or youth are put in situations where unfortunately people are seeing them stereotypically or they're being threatened, they can pull from this resource of, it's not me, it's you, number one. There's an entire community supporting me. I know laws, I know regulations, rules. I'm not cowering to you. I'm not saying that, yes, whatever it is that you want, because that doesn't work either, right? So I know what's happening. I know what I want to do, and I've practiced it enough so that when I'm doing it in this instance, I feel assertive. I feel psychologically well. I feel efficacious to take on whatever this thing is. Even if the outcome isn't exactly what I hoped, the process of me dealing with it is really what we think about as psychologists in my work. That taps on to what goes on in later adolescence when folks are going out on protests by themselves, perhaps, or with their friends. What goes on in adulthood when we're able to advocate, write letters, do the things that we need to do that map on to our skill sets, what we have the opportunity to do, all with this acknowledgement and skill set of, I'm not going to be taken advantage of in this moment. I know what I want. I know what's best for myself. Even if the outcome doesn't map onto that, I have to be psychologically assertive enough to say, not today. It's not happening today.